Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep in the heart of Liberty State, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. As Luke 17, 20 through 21 says, "Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, "Look, here it is," or "There it is." For behold, the kingdom of God is inside you," or some translations, "in your midst." Amen. I want to talk a little bit today about how to deal with the folks out there who are asking questions, especially on social media, out of complete and utter ignorance. So, for example, the big lie spread by KHQ and all these folks locally, about white nationalism and some sort of a resurgence of white nationalism. It's so ridiculous. And there are some very clear examples of why that's ridiculous. But how do you answer somebody like that? When they're just speaking out of, they're completely unread, effectually and functionally illiterate when it comes to history. Functionally illiterate when it comes to wisdom. Functionally illiterate when it comes to civics and our structure and form of government. How do you talk to people like that? I was interviewed here a couple weeks back, and the guy thought he was really going to be cute, and he's asked me, "Do you believe this?" And I said, "Well," he said, "Do you believe the Lord is a warrior?" And I said, "Well, it's not a matter of what I believe or what I feel," because those are the way these questions always start. They will say, "Do you feel this way? Do you believe that?" It's irrelevant what I feel. A little more relevant what I believe. But the facts are the facts. And so my answer was very simply, well, in the Hebrew, his name is Yahweh Sabaoth, and he's referred to as the Lord of hosts throughout Scripture. So, I mean, that's what it says. It doesn't matter how I believe or feel. That's just what it says in the original Hebrew. And then he tried to, ask these questions. "Do you believe that?" I said, "Hang on. Have you read Deuteronomy 20? No. Okay. So you are speaking out of ignorance right now. You just admitted that. So we can't have an intelligent conversation. So what you need to do is you need to go read chapter before Deuteronomy 20, chapter after, and then we can have an intelligent conversation. So that's how we handle this going forward. When somebody's asked, well, hang on, have you read the primary source document? So, for example, have you read the Constitution of the United States of America? Oh, yeah. Have you actually read the whole thing cover to cover? No. Okay, so the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go read that so we can have an intelligent conversation, because right now you're speaking out of total ignorance. And that is the way to handle what we're facing, particularly with a younger generation, who in large part is not their fault. They've been intentionally deceived. They don't even know there's such a thing as primary source documents. So always somebody tells me that this is what it says. And you have to take the opportunity to educate them. And here's the thing. If they don't want to read it, then they are willfully at that point ignorant. And that's the point. So you got all these people saying, socialism is great and all this. Okay, have you read Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand? Have you read that? Have you read Alexander Solzhenitsyn, The Gulag Archipelago, or Archipelag Gulag? Have you read that? Okay, because that's a first-person eyewitness account of what occurred, both of them, under socialism, communism. And by the way, don't separate those two. They're the same thing. Socialists just are a little bit lazier and less honest in what they're trying to do. That is important. Make them read the primary source document so you can have an intelligent conversation. And you could turn what otherwise would be a frustrating conversation with your friends or family into one that can actually educate them. You hear stuff all the time, I'm sure, right now. Everybody that's listening to this show has something in their mind where somebody has said something that's just so frustrating because that's not what it says. Right. So you ask them, have you read it? Have you actually read it? Have you gone in and looked at what the original Hebrew word is, or the original Greek word is, or the original Aramaic word is, or the original Latin word is, and what that means in the context of other works where that Latin word was used, or that Greek word was used, or that Hebrew word was used? What was the historical context of the time? What were the cultures and traditions of the time? To give even more context. And the fact of the matter is, too, for all of us, this shouldn't be a point of arrogance. This should be a point of where we are humbled, we don't know what we don't know. Because we don't know all of it. And when that person does read it and then comes back to you, you can say, okay, let's go through this together and discover together. Let's do this together. And it really can change the dynamic. Now, Facebook, social media, people ask these types of questions. And you ask them, did you read this? And they don't really care because on social media, they can hide behind their computer and say and do whatever they want to. So don't be expecting to reach a ton of people through discourse with folks that want to be willfully ignorant. People, for example, that won't admit Antifa advocates violence, right? And they won't admit that the Muslim Brotherhood is connected to Hamas. They won't admit, and is CARE, there's a book actually called this, CARE is Hamas. They won't have that discussion because even though it's been proven in a court of law that the Muslim Brotherhood here in the United States of America had a list of organizations, and one of those was Council of American Islamic Relations, and one of those was North American Islamic Trust, then even if it's been proven, if they don't and won't have that conversation, don't waste your time on it. What you can do is instead turn around and do a video and educate everybody on that issue, but make sure what you're saying is as accurate as it possibly can be. And look, we're nobody's perfect. There are going to be mistakes. Some people are going to challenge the primary sources. Okay, whatever. You're doing your best to educate folks with wisdom and also the history and culture, tradition, and heritage of America. Now, the New American Magazine this month, the title of it is A Dangerous Time to Be a Christian. The torture and murder against Christians around the world is at historic levels. And we're seeing it here. We're seeing it here in America where Christians are being attacked. And if you look closely at the issue, the public issue, you look closely at it and dig a little deeper, you will find this undercurrent of hatred toward Christians. We saw that, for example, the other night in Spokane Valley, hatred toward Christians. I mean, hatred toward Christians. Like they want to start violence. They want to instigate and bait Christians into violence. They assault Christians, curse up and down in front of little kids. They don't care, which is assaulting the senses of Christians particularly. But then they say, but you've, you know, they yell and scream, you've got to let us be free. Arr, arr, arr. You know, and then, but you get to the real root of it. Jesus Christ was right. They hated Jesus first. They are going to hate us. That's it. And you can tell by the fruits who people are aligning with in this time. And I read a fantastic article. And just a little bit, I didn't get all the way through, but just the first part of it was just excellent. And I'd never heard of this guy before, Mario Murillo. His ministry and his article is called A New Kind of Leader. And specifically what he's saying to Christians in this time, and I completely agree with this, we have to find what our assignment is in Christ's kingdom so that we each can do our work, our job, with the measure of grace that God has given us to destroy the works of the devil. And this is what's being birthed right now is something we really haven't seen before. And this article, A New Kind of Leader, really gets to the heart of that. And it's turning around what is happening today to make those folks that are hating Christians justify their position, defend their position, because we stand on the inerrant word of God, the Holy Scripture, the Bible. We stand on that. Okay, what is your standard? What standard are you using to determine what's right and wrong? Or is it just your feeling? Just your belief in the moment for that particular situation? Or is there such a thing as truth? This is going to get us back on the right track, taking this approach. And if you get a chance, check out this A New Kind of Leader, Mario Murillo, and that's M-U-R-I-L-L-O. Take a look at it. All right. Now from the Frontier Daily Intelligence Briefing, more rockets were launched at Israel, but what I want to focus on today is apparently Benjamin Netanyahu was unable to form a coalition government, so now they're going to have elections again. We have John Bolton saying, and Deb Kefile apparently was the only one that reported this initially, that Iran attacked the Yanbu oil terminal. And he said this during a visit to the United Arab Emirates, that this failed attack recently on the Saudi oil port city of Yanbu was the Iranians. Now, we had talked about this last week, that this likely is where this was headed. So this is just kind of further confirmation of this buildup in the Middle East. And again, this doesn't mean I'm advocating for it. I'm just stating what is happening out there so you guys are aware. We need to have a constitutional debate if we're and a declaration of war, if that's going to be the case. And is Iran really threatening us directly? All right. Want to move next, very briefly, to the National Front. Still waiting on those indictments. Still waiting. Yeah. I don't know. Also, apparently, this Comey was a communist article. They retracted a large portion of it, so you need to take a look at that. This was Western Center for Media Journalism. We're seeing in America right now, as I was talking about with the New American Magazine, the criminalization of Christianity. You have House Resolution 5, which passed the House of Representatives at the federal level, which effectively criminalizes Christianity. You have the Daystar firebombing in Jerusalem, Christian broadcasting. You've got the backlash or effective censorship in some ways of the Unplanned movie. You have a couple of new things happening with Planned Parenthood. And then I want to stop for a second because everybody needs to know this. Everybody needs to know where what this means, okay? Planned Parenthood has been attacking all kinds of folks, dragging people into court, particularly dragging the folks into court who revealed these videos of Planned Parenthood dealing in baby body parts. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has issued a ruling that allows Texas to strip Planned Parenthood of its Medicaid funding. Okay, now this came from January 18th, okay? Now, this is important, okay, because of what just happened with the United States Supreme Court. The United States Supreme Court signaled Tuesday it is more open to state restrictions on abortion. When it upheld, this coming to us from AP, when it upheld an Indiana law supported by abortion opponents that regulates the disposal of fetal remains. In other words, Planned Parenthood was quite literally trying to say that these baby body parts were garbage and they should be treated just like garbage. And in Indiana, they said, no, they should be treated like the remains of a human being that they are. That they are. Now, the justices declined to take on an issue closer to the core of abortion rights, rejecting the state's appeal of a lower court ruling that blocked a ban on abortion based on gender, race, or disability. So the court didn't take up that portion of it, but it did take up the portion that recognizes these are the remains of human beings. And so, going back to the original that we were talking about, this Fifth Circuit ruling, these videos, when they ruled that they were not deceptively edited, yeah, that's correct. These are human remains that are being traded on an open market. And now the Supreme Court is signaling that it looks like it may recognize more restrictions on abortion. Just today, just before I got here, I got a text alert that the governor of Louisiana, a Democrat, actually signed a ban on abortion, the heartbeat bill. So after there's a heartbeat, no abortion. Now, it's interesting that that is the great flaw in the Roe versus Wade opinion. Most folks who have read that see that as the great hole. When does life actually begin? And technology is allowing us to understand that life truly begins at conception. And at least right now, recognizing that where the heartbeat is, there cannot be an abortion. Now, that does not mean we should countenance abortion, because anywhere along that line, life begins at conception. Anywhere along that line, if somebody decides, hey, you don't get to live, then effectively there is no constitutionally protected right to life. It's very important. Very important. All right, I want to move next to gun ranges. There was a gun range, I think it was down in Texas, had an anti-terror policy where they did not let members of the Council of American Islamic Relations be part of that gun range and use the gun range. That lawsuit was dropped, so they're still allowed to do it. A lot of people have been asking, can things like that occur? Well, yeah, I think so. According to this, they didn't believe they were going to win the lawsuit, and it looks like they dropped it. I think that's that at least bodes well. All right, on the regional front, there is a new set of video analysis out on the Lavoie-Finicum murder that should be looked at. I think there's three new ones, but there's a total, I believe, of 11 that if you get a chance, you should take a look at. Also, coming up here soon is going to be Rescuing Our Children Educational Seminar. And it's going to be, I believe, June 16th. Alex Newman's going to be there, Greg Pruitt, Glenn Morgan, a bunch of other folks. So if you get a chance, check that out on Facebook, rescuing our children educational seminar as well. Also on the regional front, Idaho has repealed its entire regulatory code. You heard that right. Can you imagine that happening in Washington? What a fresh breath of air that would be to just get rid of all the regulations in Washington and start from scratch. All the redundant, ridiculous stuff. Just all gone right now. Boy, Department of Ecology neutered. Could you imagine that? Wow. Freedom. What would freedom look like? And, you know, I've heard some folks try to make the argument that socialism is Christian. But stealing is never Christian. And that's the short answer, A. And B, charity and compassion is not the province of the government. I've said it a little bit different. I said that you can't love your neighbor if government is doing it for you, or the governing are doing it for you. We individually had that responsibility. So, very interesting development in Idaho. In Washington State, on the other hand, Governor Inslee has signed a bill that would make us effectively an outlaw state, where we do not abide by the rule of law. He's calling it a sanctuary state, but I don't think that's an accurate term. It is a state of lawlessness. I want to go back really quick to Planned Parenthood. I forgot to mention one thing. Back in 19, this is coming to us from WorldNet Daily. Back in 1990, there was an interview with David Kapulian and Bernard Nathanson, who once was the head of the nation's largest abortion clinic. And he said that he and other abortion activists prior to the Roe decision constantly fed to the media the figure of 10,000 women dying annually from illegal abortions. The actual figure, he said, was about 200 to 250 annually. And the false figures are what they were promoting, again, to justify abortion. I forgot to mention that. And you can check that article out again on WorldNet Daily. I would be remiss if I didn't mention here this last Memorial Day that my good friend, Sergeant Jeff Shaver, who died in Iraq, first combat casualty since World War II for the Washington Army National Guard, you know, that his memory really serves, I think, to motivate me and many others that freedom does cost something. It costs something if you want it. You can't just sit around doing nothing, not being engaged in the battle, and expect to have freedom. You have to be engaged. We're at a point right now in our history where we have to choose. You're either in the fight or you're helping the other side. I'm not helping it. Yes, you're helping the other side by not acting. You are. Because the other side is just trying to claim ground where it can. And the other side are the Marxists. They want to destroy this country. And you notice that every time that's said, they don't try to refute it. They might use different words. They might say we want to fundamentally transform the country, but they don't refute it. They want to destroy this country, and they also want to destroy Christendom. And if you go back and look at Karl Marx's history, and you look at the poems that he wrote, and his beliefs, his anti-Semitism, his anti-Christian rhetoric, it is crystal clear what the root of Marxism is, and it's evil, period. You can go read the poems for yourself. You just read them. If some of you attend some of the 51st state rallies, you actually pull me aside and I'll show you a couple of slides that show some of these poems. It's unbelievable. People don't understand this. Richard Wurmbrand was the first one, I think, that brought this kind of forward to the consciousness that the roots of Marxism are evil. And last, on the local front, the city of Spokane, is it dying? Well, it's one of the number one places to leave, or one of the top places to leave. Seattle was dying and is dying, and there was a video documentary done. Is Spokane dying? Well, if we continue to adopt the socialist policies of Seattle, yeah, Spokane, the city, will die. That's just what socialism does. It destroys. And thank God for the Spokane Valley City Council, which has resisted that. Lastly, on the local front, Antifa versus the American Redoubt, part one. If you get the chance, Alex Barone, who is part of the Charles Carroll Society, has done a video refuting this ridiculousness about Antifa being the peaceful, quiet protesters. You'll notice that the other day they said quiet protest. This is what these guys charged in. Apparently, according to some reports, ran into some folks physically and began saying the F-bomb right in front of little kids. And a bunch of witnesses to this. There's video online, too. So, yeah, Antifa being the peaceful protesters is not just ridiculous. It's intentional propaganda to try to minimize what they're doing. And like what happened with me when I asked that reporter very pointedly, do you denounce the violence of groups like Antifa, yes or no? Asked him four times, and he refused to answer. He refused to answer. And that, I think, says everything. All right. Well, it's my pleasure to, and let me actually say my little spiel. That's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's gone to Facebook and Patriot Radio US on Facebook, liked the page, shared it. You can also go onto iTunes and Podbean, especially for you folks out in the trucking world. Thank you for listening so faithfully. Spread it far and wide. There's not many programs like this in the entire country. Spread it far and wide. Well, my guest today, and I'm very excited about my guest today, Trevor Loudon, the author, filmmaker, one of the leading experts on Marxism in the world. Thanks once again for being on Patriot Radio, Trevor. How are you doing?
Hey, look, it's great to be on. Thanks, Matt. It's good to catch up.
Yeah, you've got a whole bunch of projects you're working on. We'll get to those here in a second. But we're seeing a rise that, you know, here, especially in Washington State and Oregon, of violent Marxism, and the media is really trying to either downplay it or not cover it at all. If you could comment on that, what are you seeing, and what should our listeners be aware of?
Well, look, Donald Trump at the State of the Union said that, you know, we're facing socialism. Donald Trump Jr., just the other day on Fox News, said the next election will be between freedom and communism. And there's no exaggeration there. That's perfect. He said it exactly right. So the communists, the Marxists, who now control the Democratic Party, they control Antifa, most of the labor unions, many of the churches, a whole bunch of organizations and society, thought they had their revolution in 2016. They thought Hillary Clinton was going to get there and then it would be all over for us. But it didn't work out that way. So now they are desperate. They're throwing everything they can at this president and his supporters and conservatives and Christians to try and shut us up, close us down, intimidate us, so they can steamroll through the next election and basically get power. So people need to understand Antifa and that they are Marxist groups. They are revolutionaries, and they are the military wing of the Democratic Party, which is why the media covers for them, the Democrats cover for them, and the Democrat-controlled city councils allow them to operate. So we're in a pre-revolutionary situation. We're teetering on the brink. And Americans need to understand that.
if they seize power, I mean, what, they've been very overt, and you have a lot more information than I do. They've been very overt about if they seize power, what they want to do. Can you share that, especially with our Christian audience out here? What are their plans really the same as they were back under the former Soviet Union?
Yeah, they are. Look, American Marxists will do to American Christians and conservatives and patriots the same things that the Cubans did, the same things that the Russians did, the same things that the Chinese did. They will shut down your churches. They will imprison your leaders. They will intimidate you, jail you, impoverish you, anything they can to shut you up and make you a compliant citizen. And if you think you can hide in your church underground and, you know, have secret meetings, well, just remember this heat-seeking technology these days. They will find you. So we don't need to let it get to that point, because they are planning the same tyranny for their enemies in America that communists plan anywhere. Anybody who loves the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, anybody who is a Christian, a Jew, who stands for America will be targeted, will be shut down, will be arrested, and more if necessary.
It's been interesting to see the vitriol that has been leveled against yours truly up here and you, Trevor, and other folks around the United States. Some people think it's maybe just localized to Washington or Oregon or California, but it really is all over, that they are trying to demonize and effectively, in many ways, try to criminalize Christianity. Can you give the listeners a few of the things that you're following and that you're aware of that they should know about that are happening, maybe not here in Washington, but in other places in the United States and the world?
Well, look, I know several people. Well, multiple people are being shut out of Facebook, Twitter, you know, that sort of thing. That's happening all over. A lot of people are being economically attacked, like their Facebooks are being, their websites are being closed down. They can't, companies they deal with are shunning them, you know, under pressure. So this is getting to be a very serious thing. And the biggest, you know, Americans have always, you know, we've had these bad guys before. We've had the Black Panthers. We've had the Weather Underground. You know, we've had Marxist revolutionaries around before. But then we always had our First Amendment, and we always had our Second Amendment. So they could never win. But nobody can tell me now that those two amendments are not under grave danger. You know, the First Amendment, which we've always taken for granted, is if the Democrats get in again, they will institute hate speech legislation. They will shut you down. Anybody who criticizes them will be a hater and will be shut down. And this is what we're seeing in New Zealand. This is what we're seeing in Europe. The suppression of free speech right now is a worldwide phenomenon, and it's probably the biggest single danger we face. You know, they do not want us to be having our Twitters and Facebook pages to have any chance of re-electing President Trump or any other conservative ever again. So free speech issue is huge. It's all over the world now in every free country. It's in huge peril. And even in America, the land of the First Amendment, it is hugely imperiled.
If you can, give some examples of the Marxist infiltration, especially of the Democrat Party, because a lot of folks say, ah, you guys are blowing it out of proportion. It really isn't happening. But it is happening, especially through the Democrat Socialists of America. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, look, see, the communists and Marxists have been infiltrating the Democratic Party since the 1930s. And then you saw a big wave after the Vietnam War of you know, even more infiltration. But what really tipped it was in 1995, Democratic Socialists of America, which is more left-wing than the Communist Party in many ways. That's the year they took over the AFL-CIO, the unions. And if you control America, they put their comrade John Sweeney in as president. They removed the anti-communist clause from the AFL-CIO's constitution, and the Marxists came flooding into the labor movement. Now they completely control it. And if you control the American labor movement, you have huge influence over the Democratic Party. You have influence over policy. You have influence over who gets elected, who gets to stand as a candidate, who gets supported and who doesn't. And they have used that power in the last 15 years to basically purge the Democratic Party of moderate and conservative Democrats. So now you've got about 100 members of the House and 20 members of the U.S. Senate who are so enmeshed in neo-communism, Marxism, Muslim Brotherhood front groups involved with the Chinese or the Cubans or the Iranians, sometimes all of the above, that they couldn't pass a background check to drive a school bus. But you see, there are no background checks in Congress, none at all. And this is how they get away with it. But I can list a whole bunch of examples, of Congress members who are involved in Marxism. And I'll say one right from the start is, the Judiciary Committee, which controls the State Department, it controls the Justice Department and the FBI, is headed by a man called Jerry Nadler. Now, Jerry Nadler has been a member of Democratic Socialists of America since at least 1977. He is a complete Marxist. Also on that committee is Judy Chu from California, who has a long history with the Communist Workers' Party, a pro-Chinese group. The head of the Homeland Security Committee, Benny Thompson, has a long history with the Communist Party, the Communist Workers' Party, and Cuba. Rosa DeLauro, who's one of the very top Democrats in the House, who chooses people to go to various committees, has been involved with the Communist Party now for 20 years. She has an office in the Communist Party headquarters in New Haven, Connecticut. Jim Heim is on the Intelligence Committee, did his thesis on the Nicaraguan Sandinistas and was elected with Communist Party help in Connecticut. You know, I could give you 50 or 60 examples just off the top, but you know, do you want to stop now and maybe go back to that?
Well, what I would like to do is mention Ilhan Omar, who actually tweeted about yours truly here a couple of weeks ago and her association with the Muslim Brotherhood. If you could go through a little bit of that as well.
Well, you see, we've got three Muslim members of Congress now. But you got to understand, all of them are Marxists. Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Andre Carson. They are Marxists as much as they are Muslims. Rashida Tlaib is a member of Democratic Socialists of America. Andre Carson has a huge Marxist pedigree, and so has Ilhan Omar. So they are involved with the Muslim Brotherhood, all of them, which is, and the Muslim Brotherhood started out in Egypt in the 1920s. It was aimed to restore the Ottoman Empire, a caliphate worldwide where Sharia law would be the rule, would rule the planet. And they worked with the Nazis in World War II. And when the Nazis were defeated, they threw in with the communists. They worked with the Soviet KGB, who trained them. And they helped them to set up the Palestine Liberation Organization and Hamas and Al-Qaeda and ISIS. But the Muslim Brotherhood operates legally in America through the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the Muslim American Society, the Muslim Student Association, etc. And all three of those people are heavily tied in to those organizations. So the Muslim Brotherhood is basically works with KGB methods to promote radical Islam in the United States. But there's very, I call it the red-green axis. It's very hard to determine where the Muslim bit ends and the Marxism bit starts. They're all of these organizations like CARE are also very heavily Marxist. The Muslim Student Association is also heavily Marxist, as is the Muslim American Society. So this is a Marxist-Muslim axis that works with the communists, works with the Muslim Brotherhood to basically subvert America in any way it can. And it's you've got three members of Congress right now who are very much involved in this. plus dozens of supporters. So it's no wonder we have trouble getting the Muslim Brotherhood designated as a terrorist organization in this country, as it should be.
I completely agree, as it should be. And what we're really seeing is the culmination of Soviet Islam. And I think that that's the important point here, that, that Marxism helped to train and organize and bring together what we're seeing to this very day.
Absolutely. And I did a movie called exactly that, Soviet Islam. You know, the Soviets have been hot behind Islam for 60 or 70 years now, infiltrating their organizations and using Islam as a weapon against the West, like they use Black Lives Matter, like they use the environmental movement, like they use the radical gay movement, anything they can to bring America to its knees. And so, you know, I urge people to look online. Just look up Trevor Loudon, YouTube, Soviet Islam, and you can see a 30-minute documentary about how the communists have always used Islam against the West. You know, back in the 60s, you know, even the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, he wouldn't need to understand he's essentially a Marxist. He was in Cuba 2 years ago paying homage at the grave of Fidel Castro. Back in the 60s, two editors of the Nation of Islam's publication were both Communist Party USA members. So this has been going on for a very long time.
I want to shift gears back to Antifa briefly. About 2.5 weeks ago, a reporter came up to me after an event, and long story short, I just asked him point blank. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you denounce violence from groups like Antifa? And I asked him four times on camera, and he refused to answer it. And that's what I'm seeing is this covering for Antifa. It was reported that they were a peaceful protest group and all of these things. If you can, give a little bit to the listeners about the true nature and roots of Antifa.
Look, Antifa goes way back. You know, it was started with the German Communist Party in the 1930s. And they were used like a sort of a street army to combat the Nazi brown shirts. But when the brown shirts won, when the Nazis won and defeated the communists, many of the Antifa crossed over to join the brown shirts. It was basically like one mafia gang being defeated, so they all go and join the other one. Yeah, you know, there's very little difference between them. But in the modern Antifa, which is really descended from those communist roots, it operates all over America, and it basically operates around the local communist groups. Like in Spokane, I'm pretty sure that many of the Antifa activists will also be involved in the Spokane Democratic Socialists of America and some of the International Workers of the World and other groups that you have operating in the region. And the same in Seattle, the same in Portland. There's a big overlap between DSA, the Communist Party, some of the anarchist groups, and Antifa. Antifa is like a franchise. You know, the local communists, whichever stripe they are, will just put on masks, arm up, and go and attack conservatives. So it's more of a franchise than a contiguous political movement. Like in Florida, for instance, the local in Orlando, the local Young Democratic Socialists of America, doubled as Knights for Socialism, the local Antifa group. And the head of their group was one of the field directors for the local Democratic Party. So, you know, in Portland, Oregon, Rose City Antifa, you'll see a lot of tie-up between them and the local Democrats. The same in San Francisco. Basically, Antifa is active in cities controlled by Democrats because the local police will not stop them, and they do the Democrats' dirty work, which is why the media will cover for them, and they can do pretty much what they like without fear of any reprisal. And that's what Antifa is. It's a military wing of the Democratic Party now with a lot of communist and Marxist input.
Is there anywhere in the United States or anywhere in the world for that matter that is effectively combating groups like Antifa? And what would you recommend that folks in this area do to combat, which is what I believe a very direct threat to our constitutional republic here in the United States?
Find out who they are, find out, go through their Facebook pages, identify them, find out who they are, build dossiers on them, and turn those dossiers over to police forces. Find police that you can trust and are willing to take them on. That's what I would say. Find out who they are. Identify these people. In Brazil, there's a crackdown on these sort of groups under Bolsonaro, who is the anti-communist president of Brazil. And he has vowed to drive the Marxist scum from his country. Those are his words. And he also wants to pull Brazil out of the United Nations. And he's a good ally of President Trump. So, yeah, there are groups, there are countries around the world who are starting to fight back, but we're still really on the defensive in most countries because we haven't woken up to the fact that we need internal security and that these people aren't just silly college kids acting out. These are hardened professional revolutionaries with foreign backing. They are here to destroy and bring down the country. America is under siege. And if we don't get serious about internal security and start putting these people in jail when they break the law for long periods of time, we will lose this battle.
What do you think is going to happen here in the run-up to 2020? What's your prediction?
Increased violence. We will see some terrorist incidents, I believe, and we'll see massive attempts by Google and Facebook and Twitter to shut us down, completely shut us down. So we need to secure our websites now. We need to secure our payment systems. We need to get really, really organized and have good communication networks. And we need to be looking out for each other. We need to be securing each other's homes, watching out for each other, form support networks, and get very, very, very active in elections. We need to win back the House from President Trump. We need to hold the U.S. Senate, and we need to make sure he gets elected. Whether you like Trump or not, his leadership is the only thing standing between us and revolution right now. When we lose that, we will have revolution.
Extremely well said. I want to go now to your latest project, Enemies Within the Church. If you could describe for the listeners what you're working on now and what kind of the genesis of it was.
Yeah, look, we did the movie Enemies Within in 2016, and I urge people to go and find that on Amazon. Enemies, Amazon Prime, Enemies Within, and it details the Marxist infiltration of the U.S. government and Congress and Senate. Well, my director, Judd Saul, is a very committed Christian in Iowa, and he was noticing all sorts of social justice and left-wing garbage in his local church, which was supposedly conservative. So we have started a project to examine the massive infiltration of American Christianity. And the movie is going to be called Enemies Within the Church. People can go online, look at Enemies Within the Church, enemieswithinthechurch.com. You can see a trailer there. You can donate, hopefully, towards the project. We aim to have the movie out about October. And what it'll be is a full-length feature documentary detailing the heavy Marxist infiltration of the Protestant churches, which began in the 1920s, of the Catholic Church, which has culminated in a Marxist Pope Francis, and he is a Marxist, no question, and also the infiltration of the Orthodox churches. But what will shock people more than anything, I think, is the heavy infiltration that's gone on in the last 4 or 5 years of the evangelical and Baptist churches. You know, the conservative, Bible-believing, straight-up gospel evangelical churches are moving to the left at a dramatic pace. And this has been a concerted, deliberate deliberate program orchestrated through groups like the Gospel Coalition under Tim Keller, which is, you know, Tim Keller's a highly respected American Christian, writes lots of books, but he's a self-confessed admirer of the Frankfurt School of Marxism, and he has used the Gospel Coalition to spread Marxist ideas, social justice, white privilege, critical race theory, welcoming of illegal immigrants and refugees from the Middle East. All of these Marxist programs are now filtering through into evangelical, Baptist, and independent churches right across the nation. And they have infiltrated the seminaries and the Bible colleges like you would not believe. Even many of the once rock-solid conservative seminaries are now, like a friend of mine said the other day, he said, you know, he was in the Iraq War, he went to Bible school, he won a very conservative one in Texas because he wanted to become a pastor. He said he walks out into the car park, and every car had a Bernie Sanders sticker on it. and those young pastors, those young evangelical pastors who once would have voted for Ronald Reagan and supported Israel are now supporting Palestine and Bernie Sanders. And, you know, Andrew Breitbart used to have say a great thing. He would say, politics is downstream from culture. The culture shapes the politics of the nation. Well, culture is downstream from religion. The religion shapes the culture, and the culture shapes the politics. And the reason America is in such trouble right now is because the churches, who should be the bedrock of our culture, are now rotten with Marxism, and that's spreading into the culture and into the politics. We don't have much time left to turn that around.
And what would be your message to some of these millennial Christians that are out there right now that have, to some extent, been deceived, just depending on where they went to school? What would your message be to them right now?
Well, I'd say read your Bible very, very thoroughly and make yourself familiar with actually what it says. Because there's nothing in the Bible about white privilege. There's nothing about critical race theory. There's nothing about social justice. Jesus was not a socialist. He was quite the opposite. There's nothing, that there is an Old Testament that talks about hell and sin and redemption. That's been pretty much eliminated from much of Christianity in America today. Really understand, because you have pastors and you are going to places now that have been taken over by Marxists. Now, I'll give you a little example of how this works. Like in our movie, we'll have a scene, and it's a conference of young evangelicals in St. Louis, Missouri, and they're all from all over the Midwest, and they go to St. Louis for a big conference of teenage evangelicals. And the keynote speaker is a young black woman. She's a pastor in St. Louis, and she tells these kids, the thing that God wants them to do more than anything else is to end white privilege, which means, you know, if you're white, you're automatically a racist. You've automatically got privileges that other people don't get. Well, that woman is also a member of the ACORN group in St. Louis, and also a member of Organization for Black Struggle, which is a front group for the pro-Chinese communist group Freedom Road Socialist Organization, which is the group that gave you Black Lives Matter and the concept of white privilege and critical race theory. So these young evangelical kids are all fired up about being good Christians, and they go to this conference and are fed pure race-baiting Marxism, and they think this is biblical. You know, the Bible is colorblind. Critical race theory is a Marxist theory. You know, white privilege is a Marxist theory. When they tell you you've got to make your church diverse and recruit people of color, this is Marxism. When they tell you you've got to be all fired up about global warming, this is Marxism. When they tell you that you have to be all about social justice, this is also Marxism. So you're getting Marxism talked as, you know, taught as Christianity all over this country right now. So young millennial Christians actually have to read the Bible and be critical about this and understand that the Marxism they've been taught in church is pretty much the same as the Marxism they've been taught in college. And it ain't genuine. It has nothing to do with genuine Christianity. And if they think that's going to get them to heaven, people can understand we're commanded, you know, to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Well, remember that wise as serpents part. You know, what is the devil? The devil is the prince of lies. Who is his main target? It's the church.
And that's what socialism is going to be used for, right? It's going to be used as a tool to suppress Christianity.
Absolutely. Look. The Democrats just passed a law through the House. You know, it went through the House. It won't get through the Senate, thankfully. The Equality Act, which is a pure Marxist act. And if that is passed when the Democrats win the next election, if they do, and God forbid that they don't, God forbid that they do, rather. I don't want it to happen. If they do, they will pass that as the law of the land. And any criticism of, say, gay marriage or any promotion of traditional Christian beliefs in many areas will then become hate speech. And that will be used to shut down churches and prosecute churches. They are coming for Christianity. If you're going to be Christian, you'll be okay. You want to be a genuine Christian, you'll be persecuted out of existence.
Trevor, we are out of time. I want to thank you, and I'd love to have you on again here very soon. I appreciate everything you're doing. God bless you, okay?
Yeah, you're a little bit extreme for me, Matt, but, you know, I'm just joking.
All right.
I'd love to be on because I know I can say anything. I know I can say the truth with you, and we're on the same page. So, look, happy to come on again.
Amen. Well, God bless everybody out there, and may he make this generation the greatest one.